I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Here we go. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence. This week, it's game week, Tyler. We got a lot of action. Just so everybody understands the cadence that will be happening moving forward, we will be recording these on Tuesdays, setting the stage on Wednesdays to move forward. We'll have some more action later in the week, some little shorts on Fridays. A lot of picks, a lot of graphics, a lot of just prepared information to be just put out on the interweb this year. I'm excited to get this stuff rolling, man. It's been a long off season.
We're finally here. I appreciate you breaking it down. Fridays, we'll talk Survivor picks. We'll talk pick'ems. We'll do a little fantasy talk. Our Wednesday episodes will be preparing for those Thursday night games. We'll maybe take a look back at what happened the previous week. But we're a look forward podcast. We like to talk about what's coming next. And no time have we been more excited than this week. Where football, two games of football. Primed and ready to go.
Dude, we've got a lot of action, and I'm already looking at these games. Like, we obviously have Thursday action. We have Friday action, which is amazing. Brazil, Packers, Eagles. Then we got slate on Sunday and leading into Monday. But I think setting the stage for this first week, we have some really interesting matchups. And in my opinion, we have some matchups that we'll see again later in the year. I think Chiefs-Ravens, probably going to be another playoff matchup. I think Eagles-Philly, probably going to be another playoff matchup. And then you have some teams that are really good off seasons, but like, what are they going to show up week one like? You saw even in college football, some of these preseason hype teams just falling off the wagon, like FSU. You don't really know who's who until week one in the NFL. And teams have not showed everything. Teams have not really schemed up to beat people. And in general, I think a big one that we're looking at is this kickoff implication. We don't know what's this kickoff going to look like. Is it going to be rugby style? Like, how are these teams going to scheme it up? Because I think special teams this year more than ever is going to be a way to indicate and sway games. And the teams that are the best on special teams can legitimately move field position in massive chunks now with the new way that kickoffs work. So we've got a lot to talk about, a lot going on, and I'm excited.
If you were to design your ideal kickoff return sequence, have you thought much about what you think teams will do or how you think teams will take advantage of these new rules?
Yeah, so I think that teams need to be a little bit more willing to pitch the ball, to be honest. I know that that is kind of frowned upon in the NFL for whatever reason, but if you look at rugby, they literally pitch the ball all the time, and it's not like a sketchy thing. It's not like crazy. I think that it's probably worth having a play or two schemed up on kick return every game that could pop you, because if you look at the statistics around the NFL and how things are broken down, starting field position to outcome of it being a touchdown is drastic. The every 10 yards that you move, the more likely you are to score by a lot. Like it gets incrementally closer. So if you can get the ball to the 40-yard line with this new style, which I think is way more possible now than it was before consistently, you just have to be willing to risk it a little bit more. But I don't know, man. I think that the kickoff return can legitimately be an asset for some of these teams that have guys like Cordarrelle Patterson, right? Like for the Steelers, like there's some teams that I think can get a little bit over on other teams using special teams. And I'm excited to see how it plays out. I mean, big leg kickers that can put a lot of arc on the ball and drop it on the 2-yard line, like that's an asset. So I don't know. I'm really excited to see what happens week one. What have teams been scheming? What do they have in the bag? Because it will change the outcome of games, I promise.
Sure. You mentioned prep earlier. I'm always curious, leading into this first week, how long have teams been prepping for this first matchup? You have the Ravens and Chiefs. How long have the Ravens been preparing for the Chiefs, understanding they've had to do internal scouting? They made their cuts the other week. They've been playing preseason games.
Yeah, I would say normally this week one games, you get about like 10 days, which is obviously different than the 6 days turnaround. It's really important to start off on a fast foot. I also want to say it's not detrimental to lose a game in week one. The Ravens and the Chiefs, one of them has to lose unless it's a tie. You know what I mean? Like both of these teams are going to be playoff teams. One of them has to lose. We're going to get a good game, good matchup. And I would not put too much weight on who wins this game and who loses this game. Same thing with Eagles and Philly. I just think they want to win the game, but they kind of want to see where they're at right now to then go and play the next 16 games, the 17 game schedule. So I think right now week one is going to be a marker of where teams are. Some teams can get a nice kickstart, head start to the season. I'm looking at the Bears right now, and the Bears have one of the easiest 10-game stretches right now, and then it really turns on those last eight game or seven games of their season. So every team's schedule is different, and some teams are still nursing injuries from preseason and stuff. So I just think it's really important to take it all in with perspective of the season changes. A lot of things change. And what happens in week one will not be detrimental or determine the outcome of the year.
Does that show itself as a lack of urgency? It's hard for me to believe that there's not an urgency to win every week in the NFL. There are just too few games for you not to think we have to win every single week. But is the game planning a little different where maybe coaches are holding some things back, or maybe they're, I don't know, incorporating more players to kind of see what they have? Or are they like just going balls to the wall starting week one to win the game because they've figured that all in the preseason?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, obviously. I think some teams have different philosophies. Like last year, you saw the Packers kind of feel their way out through the first eight games and then play like they had nothing to lose the last eight games or nine games. I don't think they're going to do that this year. I think that they're going to realize that they need to play like they need to win every game. Some teams, in my opinion, like the Chiefs, they can kind of like feel their way out. I know that they're playing the Ravens week one. They probably can't feel their way through that, but there'll be some teams that they play in their schedules that they know are lesser opponents that they're not just going to risk it all for. They're not going to just get into a ground and pound, smash mouth, like do anything they can to win. They're going to try to win with protecting their players. Like some teams really do that. And you, I think you see the 49ers do that at points in the year. I don't think the 49ers are going to be able to do that this year. I don't look at the 49ers as a juggernaut in the same capacity that we've seen in years past. I think they're already coming into the season with a lot of question marks, a lot of injuries. Do I think they're a good team? Yes. Will they make the playoffs? Most likely. But I don't know, man. I don't think people are necessarily afraid of the 49ers anymore. So it's we have 32 teams to talk about. I know there's going to be a lot of different like here and there, but like I keep saying, man, I'm so excited to see what these identities form like, because I think after week one, then we know like where are teams at, and then you can start pitting them against each other, where week one really is just it's a shot in the dark. Like I'm trying to make predictions based on what I saw a little bit in preseason, where I think some guys are that are young, and then can the teams carry momentum from last year? So I'm really just excited to watch this week, feel things out, and come back in week two and be like, okay, this is where we are. This is what it's looking like, and go from there.
Does that mean you're going to pump the brakes on some of your picks and some of your, you know, when you're betting spreads, when you're betting, you're picking teams in Survivor? Are you going to be sitting back and watching, or are you still full board this week?
I'm relative bored this week. I'm like Survivor. I'm be honest. I'm going Bengals for Survivor. Like if the Bengals lose week one against the Patriots at home, all hell might break loose and they'll be back to starting how they did last year. So Bengals, I'll give everyone an early. They are my Survivor this year. They have one of the toughest schedules in the NFL, and I'm going to take them now because I don't know if there's another game that I would necessarily take them as a lock. And I think New England's got a long way to go, but there are some games that I'm looking on this like slate that I'm like, okay, right now the Ravens are plus 125. I think the Ravens are probably the better team as of today. The Chiefs don't have Hollywood Brown. The Chiefs lost, they lost Snead. Like the Chiefs are still going to be a good team this year. They're still going to make a deep playoff run and maybe win a Super Bowl. Who knows? But I think week one, the Ravens are going to come out with a sour taste in their mouth and remind themselves that they didn't run the freaking ball in the playoffs for whatever reason. And Derrick Henry might get 25 touches and they might just let people know they're here this year. I look at the Eagles and the Packers and I'm like, I think the Packers are going to win this game. They're underdogs right now, but again, Vegas doesn't really know week one. They're looking at the roster and I'm looking at the scheme and I'm looking at Green Bay's roster and guys that fit into the offensive scheme that's already been there. Those guys are not going to have any kinks to work out week one, where Philly's offense is going to have, they're going to have some nuances that they're going to have to grow through. I think Philly's going to be a better team late than they are early. I think they're going to be a good team early. So I'm going to give a little bit of an edge to the Packers here. I'm looking at this Bills Cardinals game and I'm like, dude, the Bills minus 300, the Bills minus six, Arizona's better this year and the Bills are worse this year on paper. And I'm like, that feels like a fishy game. So like, let me tease that plus six to plus 7.5. Give me a little bit of juice. And I think the Cardinals cover. I also think the Cardinals could straight up win that game plus 240. And then moving down, Carolina, New Orleans. Like, I hate New Orleans, but I don't know anything about Carolina. I think that plus four. I don't know. Like, I would just probably take the Saints money line. They're at home. Minus 200 and stay away from that spread. Texans, Colts. Like, this one's a weird game to me. I don't understand how the Colts are plus 2.5. I don't understand how the Texans are only minus 135. Like, if I was willing to risk it all, I would put a lot on minus 135. Like, for the Texans, I think the Texans, they're the better team across the board. Anthony Richardson's coming off a shoulder surgery. The Texans defense might not let the Colts move the ball at all. Like, people don't realize how good this Texans defense is going to be this year. They'll find out week one, and this might be one of the better lines that you get for the Texans all year. I think the Texans are for real, and they're probably going to be a problem. Yeah, man, we can obviously keep going down this board, but there, you see what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of unknown in week one, and after these teams publicly declare what their identities will be after this week, then I think the lines will be more reflective of that, where right now Vegas is kind of like, hey, see what happens, toss it up.
Sure. Let's hone in on this first matchup. Ravens at Chiefs, banner night for Kansas City. Mm-hmm. I want to start with the Ravens. You called out that notable offseason acquisition in Derrick Henry. I want your take on how you think that affects the Ravens running game in particular. We had our draft the other night with destroying. You mentioned there that, I mean, Gus Edwards was a touchdown machine last year. Now you bring in a guy like Derrick Henry. He's a little older, comes in at 30 years old, but what impact do you think he has for that Ravens offense?
Yeah, I think he's going to bring those 5 to 7 yard runs into 15 to 30 yard runs. And I think over the course of the year, over the course of the season, that takes a lot of pressure off of Lamar to be that guy where, like, Gus was going to get you your 4 or 5 yards, but you still need explosive plays in the NFL. And those pretty much had to come on the back of Lamar Jackson. Now, you look at Derrick Henry, he's a walking explosive run. I don't necessarily, if Derrick Henry can stay healthy and you add in Lamar's zone readability, how are you going to defend this Ravens offense? And then on top of that, you have a defense on the Ravens side that is a problem. Like, their defense is really good. I don't know why people aren't talking about their defense right now. That defense held the Chiefs to 17 points, I believe, in that game, right? Like, and the points the Chiefs did score in that playoff game were, like, they had zero room for error. Like, zero. So, I don't know, man. I'm looking at the Ravens, and I think that as long as they stay healthy, they could be, again, one of the top teams in the AFC. I think it's going to – my top two teams in the AFC are going to be between Baltimore and the Jets. And then right under them in tier two for this season is going to be Kansas City and the Texans. And this is like playing into the playoffs, not like not where I think the season will end up. Playoffs, anything can happen. Mahomes goes crazy. But that's kind of how I look at this Baltimore team, man. Like, they should – I think they should be favored in this game.
Okay. I want to ask you about this wide receiver core. It seems like every year we have the same conversation with the Ravens where it's like they don't have a top receiving option. Zay Flowers is probably the closest Lamar has had to that. If you take out Mark Andrews, who's obviously going to be a factor here, what expectations do you have for Zay Flowers and the rest of the distributors? They still have Rashad Bateman. I don't know if I can name a third wide receiver on the Ravens, but
yeah.
What are your expectations there?
Yeah, I'm looking for Zay Flowers to have a more efficient year. I'm looking for him to get his 4, 5, 6 receptions a game, get the ball in his hands in creative ways to spread the defense out horizontally. I think that, again, he doesn't have to tiptoe through the first 5, 6 weeks of being a rookie. So he'll be able to hit the ground running this year, where kind of took him a little bit to get going. He had some plays or games here and there, but he wasn't consistent until late. And now I'm like, I think that he can be their guy that on third down, that's probably where the ball's going. And I think he can be the play action deep cross guy. And I think that they can use him in a way that I think the Texans were trying to use Tank Dell before he got hurt. I see them being very similar play styles. And I'm excited to watch him play. I mean, Zay Flowers was making plays all last year, but it wasn't like a consistent cog in their offense, where I think this time he will be. I think having Mark Andrews back is awesome. I think that likely is also a dog. I could see them being in a lot of 12 personnel this year. I think that fits what they want to do. And so they don't necessarily need 3 dog receivers. So yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of think that the Ravens offense this year kind of is a little bit like maybe what the Chiefs offense was last year, but you have a dynamic runner and Derrick Henry, where it's like receiver by committee, but they did have one guy that stood out a little bit. And then you have a tight end that's cooking. So yeah, I'm really excited to see what does this play calling for the Ravens look like, because they always have like enough guys to go put up 40 points a game, but they just don't. And maybe it's because they don't need to. They like playing the time of possession game. I don't know. But I'm excited to see what this Ravens identity turns out to be.
Do you think there's added pressure on that team this year, specifically Lamar, who now has two MVPs, but doesn't seem to have the accolades in the playoffs necessarily? Like, is that a factor at all for this team?
I wouldn't say that their window is closing, but the Ravens, like this window for the Ravens is closing, and they're going to have to reshuffle around and do something different if this one doesn't work out. Or if it does work out, they're still going to have to reshuffle around and do something different. Some of the guys are getting older. They got some younger guys they're going to have to pay soon. Like, so yeah, it's an interesting, like, I think the Ravens are very similarly enough in that same situation that the Niners are in, where it's like, hey, like, you've kind of done it, but not. So you have maybe one more go at it this time around, if not maybe one more year after, before your roster looks different and you have to reset and then still go try to do it. The Chiefs went through that, like we talked about before, where Tyreek Hill left and they had to do it a different way. And they weren't putting up 40 points a game. Their defense had to play really well. They were able to do it, able to figure it out, win Super Bowls. But this version of the Ravens window is closing.
Let's move over to the Chiefs now. I think they've broken my brain to the extent that they could lose the first five games of the year. And I would still say, mm-hmm. you know what? There's probably a chance they three-peat here just because it seems like they're the one team that can turn it on with a flip of the switch. Would you be worried at all if the Chiefs came out and laid a total dud? Or are you so confident in them that you're like, you know what? They could look great. They could look awful. Your perception doesn't really change.
You know, this year, most years I'd say, yeah, the Chiefs will find a way. This year, I think they do have to play better football than they did last year, or their playoff run is going to be near improbable. The AFC is still getting better every year. I know that the Chiefs had one of the most improbable playoff runs to win a Super Bowl in recent years, with how they had to go through it. And now I'm looking at some of these other teams that in the AFC got healthier. The Bengals now will be they'll be a team to deal with, where last year they weren't. They didn't even make the playoffs. Did they? No. They did not make the playoffs.
No.
And now Joe Burrow's back. And now then you look at the Jets. The Jets have the number one defense in the NFL, and they have Aaron Rodgers back. And Aaron Rodgers never had a top two defense. And they're going to be a problem. So I'm just looking at it like, I don't think the Chiefs can necessarily get away with sloppy football this year. I also think that their defense bailed them out a shit ton last year, and Snead especially bailed them out, and he is no longer there. And people aren't talking about them, but the Raiders are going to be better this year. The Raiders, like, I know that people want to, I saw this list about Gardner Minshew being one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, whatever. Gardner Minshew makes that team better. And that team wasn't bad last year. They were okay with Aiden O'Connell towards the end of the year, putting 70 points on people. Like, that Raiders team, especially with that defense, they had a Christian Wilkins in the offseason. That Raiders team's not just going to be a gimme win. Like, the Chiefs have to play them twice a year, and if they don't show up, they're going to get smacked in the mouth. That Raider team has nothing to lose, and I would not be looking forward to playing them. And then, two, I look at the Broncos this year, and I think the Broncos aren't terrible. I think Bo Nix elevates that team like crazy. I think that Bo Nix will only get better. I think he's already good, and their defense is good with the Broncos. Like, and I think Sean Payton will do a better job coaching this year than he did last year because he actually likes who he's coaching. So I know that the Chiefs are minus three something to win their division or whatever, and minus 500 or 600 to make the playoffs, but let's not get it twisted. They can't afford to stumble. They can lose to the Ravens, but they can't just be dog shit for 4 or 5 weeks in this first part of the season because they don't have gimme division wins. They just don't. I think they'll roll the Chargers. I think the Chargers are going to be asked this year, but the other two teams, like, you're not just going to show up and beat them.
Talk to me about your thoughts on this receiving core. I like the comparison to the Ravens this year as the Chiefs were last year, but now I think there's expectations here where you have Rashee Rice, who came on a bit last year. Hollywood Brown comes in, expectations for him. And then you have the fast guy, Xavier Worthy, who I think a lot of people also have high hopes for. So unlike last year where you're surprised every time they make something happen, I think this year there are expectations on this group. So what do you think it should be for them?
Yeah, I expect like more efficient play, and I expect some more explosive plays. I think that with Hollywood Brown being out for the first, let's just call it a month of the season, I actually think that that hurts Xavier Worthy's like per play value a little bit more. I think that, I don't know, is Xavier Worthy ready to be a wide receiver too? I don't know, but I know he's ready to be a wide receiver three, and those wide receiver threes can eat. They don't draw as much attention. They're able to sneak over the top. Like, I think Xavier Worthy in that offense is going to thrive when Hollywood Brown's on the field pulling coverage, because Hollywood Brown is a problem. This first part of the year, until they get Hollywood back, I think it's going to be a little, like, who knows, people figuring out roles. But yeah, man, I'm really interested to see, like, what's their plan here? Because again, they're starting week one with two young receivers. One's a rookie. Rashee Rice is still a young receiver, and I think he's going to be good, but he's still young. And they're playing against one of the best defenses in the league. And this Ravens team, they got better this offseason. And so I'm just, I don't know. I this game feels fishy to me. And I think that for the Chiefs, this is going to be another measuring point of where they're starting their season, because I think the Chiefs' ceiling is really high. I want to know, what is this Chiefs defense going to do not being able to lock up the slot like they did last year? Like that neutralized a lot for that Chiefs defense and allowed them to play different coverages that helped them control the game, control the box. I don't know. Those are the two storylines for me that I'm looking at as this game gets rolling.
I think it's only fair if we do Super Bowl window talk for the Ravens that we do it for the Chiefs here. You have Travis Kelce getting a little older, you know, just some stars that are coming in and out, which will always happen when you have a $500 million man like Patrick Mahomes. You just can't keep everyone all the time. Although his contract now looks pretty good in retrospect, but
it does.
Regardless, is this a make or break year for the Chiefs? Or again, have they just broken your brain where it's like, you know what, they'll just figure it out next year. Like, even if they get rid of Kelce, they get rid of, I don't know, L'Jarius Sneed type, they're just going to figure it out.
I'm never going to count out Andy Reid. I think the Chiefs are always going to be probably a top six, top five team in the AFC, no matter what, like no matter how good or bad, whatever. If Mahomes is a quarterback, they always have a chance. I will say, like, if we all take a deep breath and rewatch the Super Bowl, the Chiefs got away with so much in that Super Bowl. Like, I went back and watched it, and I was like, wait, all right, what are we like setting the stage with this year? There was a lot of weird, like, non-holding calls and a lot of weird stuff that obviously made its circles in the media that first time around that, like, the Chiefs can't play how they did in that Super Bowl, in my opinion, and get away with it in the regular season. I think their play style matches itself to the playoffs a little bit better than the regular season. And that's why you saw them drop some games that you're like, how'd they lose that game? They do have a way of turning it on. They know how to win in situational football. Patrick Mahomes is a master at situational football, and that's what makes him so special. So it's like, they're always available to win. He's kind of got that like Aaron Rodgers-esque where he's like, they're never really out of a game. But just like anybody else, Patrick Mahomes is human and he does need guys around him. Like, if he didn't have Travis Kelce flip the switch in the playoffs, they wouldn't have won a Super Bowl. Travis Kelce became a dog in the playoffs, but last half of the season didn't really do shit. He didn't really do anything. He barely got the ball. He looked slow and unhealthy. But yeah, I'm just like, the Chiefs aren't the team that show up as their best version of themselves every Sunday. So I'm like, can they get away with it? Are they going to be like the Golden State Warriors and slowly fall off? I don't know. Like, I would not just say the Chiefs. I'm looking at the AFC right now and I'm like, I hate even talking negative about the Chiefs, because I do think that they're still going to be a top five AFC team, top four AFC team. But on paper and on what I believe these offseason acquisitions have looked like and the trends, I think the Ravens are better than the Chiefs. I think the Texans can be better than the Chiefs. I think that the Jets are going to be better than the Chiefs. And I do think that the Bengals potentially have a chance of being better than the Chiefs if they decide to sign Ja'Marr Chase anytime soon. And I don't know. I know everyone loves talking about the three-peat, but it just might be over this year. And I'm not saying that in a negative way. It's really hard to do, but I don't look at the Chiefs as a juggernaut like they get in the media.
Before we get to how you predict this game plays out, I just want you to expand a bit on why you think the Chiefs are able to turn it on in the playoffs and maybe have some drops during the regular season. They drop some games during the regular season that they shouldn't. I mean, I think of that Raiders game where they couldn't score and then they look great in the playoffs. So, like, is that a mental thing where they're players just have some apathy throughout the season and then they can turn it on? Is it a scheme thing? Like, what is that?
Yeah. I kind of think that they got to a point in the season where they just felt like they were going to show up and win games for whatever reason. And the NFL will humble you really quickly if you try to do that. And I mean, I just like going back and looking at their schedule last year, and we can start from the top. Like the Chiefs were never really like dominating anyone. They were kind of just squeaking by, right? Like they lost to the Lions week one. They barely beat the Jaguars 17-9. They did beat the Bears, who were bad. They barely beat the Jets with no quarterback. It was 23-20. They barely beat the Vikings 27-20 in October. I don't know if that was pre or post Kirk Cousins injury. They barely beat a really bad Broncos team 19-8. Then they beat the Chargers. Okay. Then they lost to the Broncos 24-9. Then they played the Dolphins, beat them by 7. That was a good game. Then they lost to the Eagles, who, if anyone remembers, the Eagles were dog shit. Like, the Eagles just outmanned them instead of out-schemed them. Then they beat the Raiders, who at the time were playing like shit. Then they lost to the Packers. Then they lost to the Bills. Then they barely beat the Patriots. The Patriots were so bad. It was 27-17, but they scored a late touchdown. Then they lost to the Raiders again, who like they were not good. Then they barely beat a Bengals team led by their backup quarterback Browning. Then they barely beat a shit Chargers team, which I believe they may have played their backups in that game. I'm not too sure. And that was like, they just kind of like, their way through the season, you know, like they won some, they lost some, this and that, whatever. And then they turned it on against the Dolphins in the wild card. And then that divisional round happened versus the Bills. The Bills were so depleted on defense. They had no one. Like the Bills had no one. And the Chiefs still barely beat them 27-24. Like Josh Allen played his ass off that game. And the Chiefs were still kind of just like they should have handled that game. And then you get to the Ravens game. And if the Ravens just decided to hand the ball off, they would have won that game. The Ravens were controlling that game, found a way to lose. And then the Chiefs in the Super Bowl against the Niners. Like I honestly think that this run, a lot of stars aligned for them. And I hate like taking credit from people because they did show up in the critical situations and they closed these games out. I'm not going to take that from them. The Chiefs in situational football, if they have 2 minutes left or if they have 4 minutes left and they have to hold it off, they are masters at situational football. I do believe that they got into those situations though by these other teams letting them hang around. And then the Chiefs just found a way. Like it kind of felt like that one Rocky movie where like Rocky wasn't really supposed to be there, but he found a way to win. Like he wasn't the best, wasn't like whatever, but he just had been there before. Like that's kind of what the Chiefs felt like to me. I don't think they're going to be able to do that this year. Because if you look at their schedule, man, like they got the Ravens week one, got the Bengals week two, then they have the Falcons week three. And then they have the Chargers, they'll win that. Then they have the Saints, but then they have the Niners, the Raiders, and the Bucks, the Broncos, the Bills, the Panthers, then they have the Raiders. Then they have the Chargers, Browns, Texans, Steelers, Broncos. Like they benefit enough from having a few games that they just should straight up win to like add some more wins to them. Like I don't think they're going to be a 12-win team this year though. Like I think, I don't know. I just, the more that I look at it, the more that I'm like, I don't think these are the Chiefs that we think they are or that the people think they are. I think they're still a good team, but they're not just like a juggernaut.
Fair. I know as we talk about these games, you like to game out how you think the vibe is going to, you know, the vibe of the play calling of the, just of the entire game is going to go to make your picks. You know, when you're picking, pick 'em, survivor against the spread, whatever. Walk us through how you see this game playing out.
Yeah. So I'm going to go and open up Sleeper now and go and put in just like a player prop picks versus, and I'm going to start with, I think that Derrick Henry is going to run the rock. I think he's going to get 70 to 80 yards rushing. So I'm going to take his over on that. I think they're going to establish the run in a way that like, damn, we should have done that last year that we played them. I think Derrick Henry is going to establish the run. I think that Pacheco is going to get involved in the pass game a little bit. I think that the Ravens defense, that's where you can kind of get them a little bit running back pass game. So give me Pacheco's receptions at 2.5. Then I think on the flip side, I think that Zay Flowers is going to have a decent game. I'm going to take his receptions at 4.5. And I think that they're going to make it a point to feed him because I think that he matches up better in the slot than Mark Andrews matches up in the linebacker position. I think Mark Andrews is still going to have a fine game. But then on the flip side, I think that Travis Kelce is going to have to get his touches. Give me 5.5 receptions on Travis Kelce. I think that they're going to make it a point to get him involved in the game, because I think when he's involved in the game, the rest of the offense becomes alive and he draws more attention when he's getting his receptions. Even if he's getting 5 yards, 6 yards, 7 yards of reception, whatever, he's starting to pull coverage to allow that big play, big shot to happen. And I think Travis Kelce is going to have a good game. I think he's going to get his targets. It's prime time, so you know what it is. I think that if we're looking at Lamar Jackson, what is Lamar Jackson going to have to do? I think he's actually going to have to throw the ball some this game. I think that Derrick Henry is going to get his rushing yards, but I think that Lamar Jackson is going to have to throw the ball. I also think Lamar Jackson is going to have to run the ball. I think there's going to have to be like a 300-yard, 350, 400-yard total offensive game for the Ravens. And I think it can be, considering the step back that I think that the Chiefs are going to take. They have Lamar Jackson's line set at 219.5 passing yards. I will say the last time that they played against each other, Lamar Jackson had 272 passing yards against the Chiefs. He balled out. He threw the ball 37 times. I also think that they threw the ball way more than they should have. They should have ran the damn ball. So I'm going to stay away from his passing yards this time. Now looking at the rest of this board, Patrick Mahomes, he's going to have to throw the rock. His line is set at 264.5. Last time they played, he threw 241. I don't think he's going to hit his line for passing yards on the over. I'm actually going to take less here. So I'm going to go under 265 passing yards. He might go over that, but I don't think that the Ravens defense is going to let that happen. He might come close though. And if I lose on that, I'm willing to take that. And then last but not least, I think Rashee Rice is going to get his burn. I like 5.5 receptions there, but I'm not going to touch it. I don't like stacking 11 receptions between two people, 12 receptions between two people. And the rest of this, man, let's see. I think that, got some sack guys in here. I don't love taking sacks because they're just a toss up. I also think Mark Andrews is going to get involved in this game. I will say that, but I think I'm going to leave it there. That is five different things that $50 would pay out 554. So I'm going to go throw that in there. But I think that the Chiefs are going to have to throw the ball. I don't think that they're just going to be able to run the ball. I think the Ravens are going to forcefully establish the run to open up the pass. And I think that they're not going to be so afraid to go back and forth, back and forth. And I just see this being like a, I don't know. I see it being like a 27-24 or 24-21 Ravens win, like a win by 3 points where it's like, okay, that was a good start to the NFL season. Chiefs don't feel bad. They just didn't show up in the same capacity and they couldn't match them. Like if you take away all of our preconceived notions about who we thought the Chiefs were last year and who they ended up being and just start fresh, the Ravens are the better football team tomorrow. Thursday.
Tomorrow. This will come out. You're listening to this on Wednesday. So tomorrow we have football. You get lost in this time warp of when football starts, especially with Friday football. It's going to feel like, yep. I don't know, starting Thursday, it's just going to feel like the weekend.
Dude, we got a lot of ball, man. We got a lot of action.
A lot of football. Let's move over to that Friday game. I want to talk Eagles-Packers now. First, I want to ask you about the factor of travel. There's been a lot of stories about being in Brazil specifically. I want to leave that on the side for now. But I just want to talk about this notion of traveling internationally. Brazil, sneaky, a far trip to go. I think it's something like 3,000 miles, which is like flying across the country, which these days is not uncommon, obviously, for NFL teams. But does travel play a factor here? Or are we just so advanced as a league that it's really not that big of a deal?
Travel definitely plays a factor. Environment plays a factor. Brazil is going to be a weird spot to have a game. I've already heard a lot of like stuff about the crime and this and that, but I also think it's going to be good for football. I think it's good for what the league wants to push forward with a global product, right? As far as the players, like I feel like travel never helps. You know what I mean? Like travel's never a positive. So if it's not a positive, it's not a neutral, it's a negative. And maybe we just won't see as much sharp play as we would have expected. When teams go to London, it doesn't look as sharp as it does over here. And it's just a different environment. Like it's hard to like close your eyes and open up and you're somewhere else and you're playing. Like it's not the same game. It is, but it's not. I think the biggest thing that I'm looking at with this game is, can the Packers be as aggressive as they were at the end of the year, playing like they had nothing to lose? Or are they going to walk into the game and feel like they need to set things up for whatever reason? And then on the other side, how quickly can this Eagles team gel with a new defense and new offense to where when bullets start flying and it's just super high impact, stress is high, like there's only so much training at this point in time that you can revert back to as an Eagles player, because it is still somewhat relatively new to you, for everyone on the both offense and defensive side. So that's why I say I think this Eagle team gets better as the year goes on. I think the Packers should have the edge in week one. I think that people just look at the Eagles as Jalen Hurts, Saquon, AJ Brown, Devonta Smith, right? Like, and they're just like, oh, they can't lose. Where I look at the Packers and I'm like, damn, Jordan Love, Josh Jacobs, like Wicks, Dobbs, like these guys that have already done it and already went into Dallas and smacked people in the mouth. Like, that's kind of what I'm looking at in this game. I think that, again, for whatever reason, the Packers are underdogs that they shouldn't be. I think they're the better team as of today. I think that conversation can change as the year goes on because the Eagles will catch more of a stride. But I'd be shocked to see the Eagles just come out and be clicking full force offensively when it's the NFL, dude. Like, Packers defense is a lot of money on that defense, and they're going to be a better defense this year. Like, they're not just going to be a slouch team, and they – I don't know. I just think Vegas has this one wrong.
The big question for me in this game is a question of momentum. Last year, the Eagles sputtered out in the playoffs at the end of the season. The Packers came on late in the season. How much does that momentum carry over? First, talking about the Eagles.
Yeah, I think the Eagles have a blank slate, to be honest. I don't think the momentum is going to crush them from last year. I think they have a blank slate, a lot of new to look forward to. However, there is new, and they're going to have to figure out what does that new look like. And like in critical situations, you got to think, how comfortable are the Eagles if they zero blitz to audible, change protections, like do all the stuff that Jordan Love's now been doing with the same system for 4 years, right? Like in the critical, critical situations on third down, new play call comes in on third down that you haven't run 50 times in a row in regular season play. For the Eagles, are they going to trust it enough, convert it enough, be a fit? Like, you know what I mean? There's the time on task is a real thing. And I think that even if the Eagles lose a game or two early, like they will figure that out by the end of the year. I just don't think we need to expect the Eagles to be all world year or week one.
Sure. Talk about that Kellen Moore offense a little bit more. Mm-hmm. What are your expectations, especially as compared to last year, where you didn't have the kindest words for the Eagles at the end of the year?
Dude, I think we're going to see a lot of shifts, a lot of motions. We're going to see more easy completions, less relying on guys winning one-on-one. I think you're going to see guys schemed up for success, finally. And you're going to see that on Friday. Like, you're going to see this team looking different than they did last year. I promise that. Now, however, you get into live bullets, and play callers have to figure out players and who does what in best situations where, and all of that starts mattering. But again, just like the Chiefs didn't start out great last year and they turned it on. I could see the Eagles being kind of like the Chiefs, where like they have the guys, but like they got to figure it out. And same with the Eagles defense. Like the Eagles defense was atrocious last year. They were not good. And so they got some new players, whatever, but I still am like, I don't know what the Eagles defense is going to look like. I think their scheme wise is going to be better, but it doesn't mean the players and the positions are going to be able to play that much better. So we'll find out. We'll find out real soon.
Yeah, we have a new play caller in Philadelphia, but there's also a new running back. They spent a lot of money there, which is not really a Howie Roseman specialty to spend a lot of money at the running back position. So
yeah,
are you think they're trying to do something in particular with adding Saquon to this offense?
I think they're trying to establish a little bit more of like a downhill run game so that they can hit play action off of it. That's what I think. Swift is not necessarily that guy, but Swift also like – Swift's going to be really good for the Chicago Bears this year. I don't think Swift is a bad running back. People wrote him off. All they had to do was get the ball in his hands in space. Then he was electric. He's not the best between the tackles when he has to lean forward into people and get 3-4 yards a pop. But if you get him in a wide zone scheme, get the ball in space, get him with 2 yards of separation between people, he'll make a miss. And I just think they misused Swift last year. And I think that they went to a Saquon route where he's a little more versatile, can do a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that. But also Saquon's, he is technically getting older. He has had a bunch of season-ending injuries. And are we still paying him based on his name? We'll find out. I don't know how good he's going to be this year. But I looked at that and I was like, ooh, this feels kind of like you're grabbing guys that maybe have been, and are paying them like what they used to be. I think he's going to have a solid year. Like, I don't think he's going to be bad. He's Saquon Barkley, but I hope that they're not expecting something out of him that he can't physically give anymore. So we'll find out.
Sure. When the other end of the expectation spectrum, you have the Green Bay Packers, who, as we talked about, were rolling at the end of the mm-hmm. year. How easy is it to carry that momentum into the following year? Or is it like you come to week one and it's basically a clean slate?
I think they're going to carry that momentum in. I think it's a different situation. And I also think they're so young that all they know now, their identity of that team is, we don't give a shit who we play where. We're going to show up and we're going to do what we do. We're going to like they're a bunch of young guys that are going out balling, having fun, making plays while also knowing what their scheme is and how to do it. And they figured that out like at a pretty good part in the year. This season's all going to come down to Jordan Love and how consistent can he be in those situations last year where he was a sniper, right? Like very low percentage throws, just dealing and dealing and dealing and standing and delivering, fading away to the last second. Like, can he keep that up? Because that keeps them at like a 10, 11, 12 win team, where if that falls down, then they're like 9-10, you know, maybe. So I think this year is going to come down to Jordan Love.
I'm not exactly sure how to think about this team, because some pockets of the internet, I think they're overhyped, and that's probably just the fan in me and the fan pages that I see. And then there's some pockets of the internet where I feel like they're underhyped, and you see people talking about how Jordan Love didn't deserve this extension because it was only based off of half a year of good play. So on the spectrum of overhyped to underhyped to maybe they're perfectly marked as whatever people have them as, where do you think the Packers fall?
I think that the Packers are for real. I'm still waiting for their defense to show up and be who I know they can be with the guys that they have. Like their defense has dogs. They just have not been unleashed to do what they do best. They've been back against the wall with a bend but don't break defense. That's not who they have roster wise. Now they have a new DC that comes in and he's all about pressure, creating turnovers. How's that going to feed into the offense? Give Jordan Love an extra opportunity or two a game with an extra drive or two a game because of turnovers. And maybe they take that next step that they're like, damn, they're almost untouchable. We don't know. I do think that like, man, their ceiling is very, very high. Their floor also, like when they're not playing well, could be low. And I don't know, man. I look at Jordan Love and I'm like, in my opinion, he was playing that good almost all season. He just didn't have the guys around him early on in the season last year to help him out. He was putting the ball in the same spots, same timing, same delivery, doing the same thing. He's very consistent. Guys just weren't in the spots. Guys started showing up in the right spots at the right time, and next thing you know, they're making a deep playoff run. So just like any quarterback, Jordan Love needs his guys around him to show up on time, in the right spots, making plays, and bailing them out every once in a while. Every quarterback needs a little bailout. Nothing wrong with that. But I think Jordan Love deserved that bonus or deserved that contract because he actually was playing like that all year long. The stats just didn't reflect it.
We're going to have this conversation every I promise. Let me say this. I promise we won't have this conversation every week, but let's just get ahead of the who's the wide receiver one conversation. And maybe it's not so much of you have to give me who the wide receiver one is. You can just tell me how you hope these guys slot in and maybe talk about a guy that you think should or has to make a big jump to let this team reach its ceiling.
So I do have a wide receiver one, and it's Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs is going to be on the field more than anybody else, and he's going to be playing X. And at X, you're soloed, you're one-on-one, and if they want to stop you and take you out of the play, they got to go cover two over your side while you're soloed. Take another defender out of the game. Romeo Doubs is a 50-50 ball machine. Romeo Doubs' catch radius is insane. His hands are insane, and he's only getting better every year. Now, in that scheme, the Fs eat a lot, and that would be a Wicks. I think Wicks is going to eat in the slot. I'm also really interested to see how they use Jaden Reed. Like, Jaden Reed can kind of be like their Debo in a sense where he can play receiver, he could play out of the backfield, he could do a lot of weird things. And then the guy that I think needs to take the next step for them to be unstoppable is Christian Watson. If Christian Watson can stay on the field and make the contested catches that I saw him make at the end of the year, I don't see how you defend this team. I truly don't. The only way that the Packers lose is if they get in their own damn way, in my opinion. If Christian Watson can come step up and be the guy who I think he can be, like, he's got all the potential in the world. Just needs to stay healthy, and then he just needs to lock in the moment. And I think he's set to do that. So I know I made a comment earlier that they could be like the greatest show on turf type of deal, but they actually could. And you look at the running back, Josh Jacobs, if he plays how he can play, he could be a top five running back in the league. Jordan Love already was a top five quarterback in the league last year, ending the season fantasy quarterback number five. And now you add receivers who were all young last year and balled out halfway through the season, starting and hitting the ground running from day one. I went back and watched Jordan Love's all of his touchdowns from last year. And the way that he was throwing touchdowns early in the year versus the touchdowns he was throwing late in the year were really different. Early in the year, they had to inch their way all the way down the field and throw a touchdown on like the 5-6 yard line, maybe 12 yard line. End of the year, they didn't even need all that. They were bombing people, throwing 20, 30, 40 yard touchdowns, cover zero. Like they didn't have to be so methodical. And that for me is where they unlocked who they could be. And now, will they get to that early on, or will they wait until week 9 to do that again? We'll find out.
Let's talk game script here. Maybe you can walk me through some picks that you like, and then I want to get to your official prediction after that. But how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, I think that this game is, I think that it's going to be more of a run game for the Packers, that the big plays come off of play action. That's what my thought is. I think we're going to get some deep crossers. I think Jordan Love's going to throw for 2 touchdowns. So give me that over. It's set at 1.5. I think Josh Jacobs is going to run for more than 67 yards. Give me that. I think AJ Brown's going to get his receptions on the other side of the ball. I think they're going to try to feed him and get him going early because he unlocks that offense. So 5.5 receptions. I think Romeo Doubs is going to have more than 38 receiving yards. I think that I think Dontavian Wicks is going to have 3 receptions, but I'm not going to touch it because I don't really like the receptions for that team. And I think Jalen Hurts, man, I think he's going to have to run the ball, but I don't think he's going to get 36 rushing yards. I also, man, like, I don't think he's going to throw for a touchdown. I think, I don't know. I also think Saquon, they're going to try to get the ball in Saquon's hands. But again, you look at this Eagles offense, like, they got a lot of people they got to spread the ball around to. And I really think the Packers are going to win this game. And I don't really feel like it's my bias talking. I just think that the Eagles are not going to be who they are later in the season in week one. And I think it's going to take some time. And the Packers are hitting the ground running. Seasoned guys now, had been through it together, had made a deep playoff one. They were like 2 plays away from going to conference championship game, and they probably would have beat the Lions. And that's just the reality of it. They were winning that game against the Niners and blew it. So that's kind of what I'm looking at, man. Those are the four that I actually really like. I like Jordan Love passing touchdowns, I like Josh Jacobs rushing yards, AJ Brown receptions, and Romeo Doubs receiving yards. $50 pays out $333. And I think that's it's a healthy one. I like that. So I think that the Packers win. I think the Eagles try to establish who they want to be, but might just take a little bit more time than week one permits.
All right, Kurt, we have set the table. And we still have so much more football to talk about later on this week. Another episode will be coming Friday. We'll break in a little bit more to some Survivor picks. You have a Survivor Pick'em League that we'll talk about there. Some official picks for Sunday as well, and setting the stage a little bit more. But, I mean, we just filled almost 50 minutes just talking about two games. So
two games, man. We are back, dude. We are so back. I love it. This is my favorite part of the year. I love predicting the game scripts, talking about teams, strengths, weaknesses, matchups, and all that. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get this thing going. I'm excited for Friday. I'm excited for Thursday. Football is back, dude. And we got college too. We don't even talk about college on this specific show, but we do on Twitter. And I'm happy football season's here. And I can't wait to see what happens. Because like anybody else, like, yeah, I have things that I hope happen, but I'm still a fan of the game and I love watching whatever's going to happen. So let's get some ball, man. Football.
Love it. I love it. Pocket Presence HQ on Twitter and Instagram. We'll drop all of Kurt's official picks there. So if you didn't write them down here, they'll be there come game day. And we'll see you guys on Friday.
See you guys.